Bath time. Bedtime bath time.
Have you ever had that feeling where you just go...
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, from the capital city of the United States of America, Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to...
Ramble.
We're in, yeah?
Hood down or hood up?
Are we all okay?
Everyone's fine. This is the Fur and Bill. Take Ian.
TFR.
Nice.
You and I.
That's that. Hood down.
Hood down?
Yeah, I think so. It doesn't suit you. Luke, it's not for you. It's not for you. I'm not allowed to say the word. That's fine. This is number 49. This is the FIFA Ramble. This is TFR. You've joined us today. We're going to keep it tight, but we're also going to keep it loose. We're going to buzz through numerous topics. Are we going to plunge straight right in with the Premier League?
Go on, then.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Do you want to even bother with Man United? Do you want to even bother with Man United?
Do you know what?
Do you want to do that?
What we need to do is we need to start where the Premier League started, which is in Cardiff.
Are we going straight away?
And you guys were there.
I was to do that later on, but okay, we can do
go
it right
straight
now.
In with that. First game of the Premier League, we'll do that first straight
away.
That was
good, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
Did you like that? Well, unbelievably, Cardiff City in the Premier League and played Newcastle, their first home game, and we were actually there. We were privileged enough to be in partnership with Big Moose Coffee Co.
Big Moose Coffee Co, inviting us down.
Got that going on, and we both saw the game.
We did.
What did you guys think of it? You guys were there?
We were there.
We were actually there.
What was your opinion of
I love Cardiff. Seeing Cardiff in the Premier League, so I've got no bones about seeing that. Defensively, Cardiff City were very solid, highly successful in dealing with any physicality and sustaining the middle of the park, still throwing tackles in. That level of commitment was there. They really struggled for anything up front. Big Ken Zahore, as good as he is, he's a Nubian prince in my eyes. He's brilliant. They need something. They need to finish it, and it's highly evident that they need something more up front. No matter how good Big Ken was up front, and everyone likes his work and really hassles the defence, there's just something missing up front. And the plus point is Josh Murphy's performance, which got lots
definitely.
Of credit, and that's a way to start
really
a
he
career
really
to come to this team from Norwich and to actually make an impact like that is. That should be your best day in terms of kicking on, and that's going to give them a hell of a lot of confidence. So they were caught unawares. There's something lacking up front, and there's something lacking in the back as well. Now, look, Etheridge had a cracking game, but still his calling and his communication with the back four is just not good enough, because he should command his box more. And there were times and time again, if Sol Bamba was not a dominant forcer, then they will get caught short. That's what I fear about Etheridge, even though, let's face it, come on, he had a cracking game because of the saves that he made
save
to the
end.
As
the
well
save
as that.
The end was the one that
but you will just get punished if
his
you are that way.
His distribution was horrendous, though. But that's part of the problem with Cardiff, in my opinion.
That is. So there's two fundamental elements there. There were some rays of sunshine throughout. One of them was in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
Harry Arter,
he's a good addition, and he put himself about, and a lot was made about one of those particular challenges. But you know, he gives them something that you know, he gives them experience in the Premiership, but he also gives them something a bit different from what they had. I think you touched on the points really that came across to me, not being up close and watching it, but watching it at home. But certainly, you know, I think that they're gonna have to have more teeth up front.
66 minutes in and being a man down, you have to capitalise on that because they almost got caught short. I love the fact that Cardiff City held their own for the entire game, but against any other team in the Premier League teams that you play, you're going to get absolutely ruined, and they almost did cut and done by a really unlucky penalty. But the commitment levels were
it's great. That old adage, isn't it? You should make the advantage count when you can, and there's always going to be, you know, teams will always have that opportunity, whether it's a set piece or whether it's a penalty or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you know, make the advantage count, and Cardiff were the better side for pretty much the whole game, but they didn't look that threatening, and they nearly got caught out. But the plus side is they're on the board, aren't they? They got a point. So.
They got a point. My issue with them, it was literally when they had that extra man. deciding to play him at centre back is a horrendous decision.
You can see the penalty save as well on our Instagram page, the FIFA Ramblin'
TFR. You can indeed. But yeah, I thought it was overall, I thought it was actually a really good game. I thought
John Joe Shelby was the highlight
of the game.
Yeah, he was great.
Why wasn't he taking, not just the penalty, but why wasn't he taking the free kick like 2 minutes before?
Yeah.
Why was he not John taking Shelby? I just thought he's going to bury this in the top corner, and then Kennedy takes
He's one of the most underrated players in the Premier League, and he was superb.
He was. He's really got his head screwed
on. Unbelievable.
Kennedy, it's really harsh, and he probably should have been sent off for the kick out, which we all see, and I can't. Yeah. He's right under the ref's nose, literally. I think he has to take responsibility. Raf was livid.
Yeah, he wasn't happy.
He was livid.
I thought, though, him standing up to take the penalty actually was quite brave.
Look, it's really harsh.
He should have been off. He hasn't had a good game.
I did respect him, actually, for taking it. But
it's a last-minute penalty. You've had an awful appearance. You've had a dreadful game. And you should have been sent off. 90th minute. I'll take this, lads.
Yeah.
But then, apparently,
stepped up.
When Rafa Benitez was at Liverpool, he would give you... At the start, if there's any penalties, he's taking it. And then one day, someone took it off. I can't remember who it was.
It was Bellamy.
Bellamy
took it off. I don't know who the normal taker is, and he got fined.
And he got fined for it because he was like, "You weren't the penalty taker, so you're getting fined for it."
What do you want to discuss next? Because that was my
moving on.
I think we move on to briefly touch on what month is it?
August.
Yeah. It can't be August because Harry Kane scored.
Yeah. It's happened. It's happened.
It can't be August. But
it just proves the smoothness of Spurs' approach. It's like, hey, I don't need anyone else. I'm good.
Listen,
isolated.
We joked about it. But you know, it was only in jest, really. About Harry Kane was always
jesting.
But it was interesting. I thought this game because, a lot's been made of Spurs not making any signings, first club to never make a signing in the window. Poch is I guess it's Poch or Levy are of the opinion that, if they're not going to improve the squad, then let's not go out and buy some of the safer.
There's also the element...
Because they've been stung by that.
With Levy,
before.
There's also the element of... It's the same with Woodward. There's certain chair or chief executives who look at it and go... There's no value in the market because they don't want to spend over a certain
Especially
amount of money.
Leave,
they
yeah.
look at contracts left, how many years left on a contract, and wages they're being offered and fee, and it's all taken into account. If it doesn't match their balance sheet, even if they've got money, they won't do it.
But I think, all I was going to add to that was that I think in the past, particularly last season when the Spurs were trying to settle into playing at Wembley, they have dropped points at home. End of Poch's reign as well at the start of the season, two lesser sides. I think they started last season with a draw with Burnley, a loss to Chelsea, and they've got that in them as they look to sort of find their feet in the league. And actually, I think two wins out of two, they were made to work at it in Newcastle. They were made for parts of this game to work at it. Fulham really tested them at times, but they got through. And I think, I think it's a reminder, though, that in spite of not strengthening their squad, they've still got some quality, and they did have a strong squad that they strengthened last season as well. So good signs, I think, for Spurs.
Is Kieran Trippier world class?
Not yet.
Come on, that free kick again. The assassin. The baby-faced assassin, they call him down there.
He's on a good path, I'd say, but I don't think he's world-class yet.
Strong words. Proved
he's not because he's a defender. For me, weirdly, I just think he's not
he's
world-class.
He's so defenderist.
He's not Cafu, that's all I'm saying. No, he's close. Should we move across London?
Should we do that? Should we move across London?
Yeah, why not?
Which part of London?
Really across. We're going a little bit.
Are we hammering it down or are we going Arsenal?
No, we're hammering it down. We're going to West Ham.
What is going on at West Ham, Luke?
Right. Yeah, what is happening at West Ham? Because I just can't...
You know, we were just saying about how shrewd that Daniel Levy is or Poch is to get the right people
in.
Yeah? What you think of the opposite.
Yeah, we're in opposite city now.
Yeah.
That's what West Ham is. That's what happens. Okay. Now, whoa. We'll just buy someone and we'll give them those wages.
Some good players. This is the problem.
The only one I agree with is the Arnautovic one. Manone, Fabianski.
Mm-hmm.
That was decent. And who's the striker they brought in? Who scored last week?
West Ham.
Yeah.
Can't think. My mind's gone blank.
Okay, well, they're the three that I think of. Anyone else? I don't.
Anatovich got the goal.
Noble.
Didn't he?
What's happened to Noble? Used to be the engine room.
Well, right.
Getting
I mean,
to see that because I've always liked him as a player.
They see, they're, right. They're, first of all, their transfers. I actually think that Fredericks was really shrewd bringing him in. I think Fabianski was a bit of a mistake in. I can see why they would have
got Adrian.
They've got Adrian.
Yeah, I don't think he improves them that massively personally.
It's like them signing Joe Hart last season. In that, yeah,
he's got
okay,
an arrow
he's
in
good.
Him.
Yeah, it,
but you've got a,
you've got Adrian there.
He's great.
It's like why did they bring Joe Hart in
What's
last
to
last year
Marshall
to then immediately?
There, he
goes straight down the pecking order.
To me, I was saying last week, like on their day, their good players are really good, but they're just inconsistent. Even Anatovich himself can be inconsistent. I think, you know, Hernandez can blow hot and cold. I think Fabianski, exactly. He had some great games for Swansea, but he's also prone to the odd error. Zabaleta,
who
past his prime.
About 18 months past anything close to being in the twilight of his prime.
Are we judging West Ham too soon, though?
Because no, absolutely not.
No, I don't think we are.
I don't think.
I think they're going to struggle.
St. Pellegrini's in there.
You said they were going to go down last week.
Yeah, I'm just devil's advocate.
Just to remind
No, I don't think we are, because I think we all agreed.
You said they would go down.
Yeah, we all said, what, 2 weeks ago, that...
It's too soon.
They made too many... It's 2 weeks before the signings, the season that started. We said... Do you know what? They've made some awful signings.
Yeah.
Those signings, and I do think there's some better, you know, they've done all right. I think Felipe Anderson is quite good.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's good quality.
Whether he will mix.
I mean, I think it's about, and you said, Luke, before, it's about gelling them together as well. I mean, even the manager kind of
there's
made
no
that
gel.
Point as well. It's not really the sort of words you want to hear from your manager. It's a lot of new players getting used to playing with each other. I mean, you know, particularly in an era where time is not a manager's friend. You know, how much time are they going to allow before the natives get restless? And you know, it's West Ham. The natives do get restless. So
they do indeed.
Right, we're going to take a little quick bus ride just down the road. We're going to just check in to Arsenal and Chelsea really quickly because I know you guys don't want to talk about it, but it's fine.
Whatever.
I am impressed with the way Arsenal came back into the game and showed some fight and showed some spirit. If they did not do that, then I think there would probably be bloodshed in the Arsenal TV ranks. Mm-hmm. The one ray of sunshine who we all enjoy watching and seeing his progress. He's a 19-year-old lad. It's Matteo.
Yeah, Guendouzi. Guendouzi is brilliant.
And the show, the commitment, I think he's exactly the type of signing that Arsenal need and want right now.
I think he's
been
really good. Yeah, I think he's been a good signing.
And it's one video has been doing the rounds, which stands out to me, is the picture of him hammering the ground, which could be for theatrical effect to the manager's watching me. Yeah. No, but it was after he actually set up that move in order for Aubameyang to just blaze it over. Mm. So that was an integral time, and he knew how important that was. And you've got to love seeing that sort of commitment.
To do
that
at 19,
player.
That shows 19. He's comfortable in his own skin,
totally.
Isn't he?
It's
great.
No, it was good.
So that's all I got to say on that, because I don't want to say that
another
lost
defeat.
3-2.
Come
on. You're going to lose.
No, that's all we need to tell Arsenal as they go into their 6-pointer against West Ham next week.
Relegation dogfight.
Can you think of anyone harder to face in the first two games?
It's pretty tough. Yeah.
I'm not saying they should go down to that. I think they should go toe-to-toe. But if you lose
those two... Remember the Hurricanes?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I'd rather play... Yeah, the Hurricanes would be harder.
They are champions, apparently.
Do you want to go to...
Let's go
to
Manchester.
Should we go to Manchester? Which Manchester do you want to go?
Let's briefly talk about Man City, Huddersfield.
City, yeah. We're doing it in order.
Huddersfield are in a hell of a state. We were watching when the sixth goal went in. It was like, oh my days, that's a booty.
You just don't get thumped, do you? This is the stage. It doesn't matter at this stage of the season if you win, because everyone goes, it's only two games in. But don't get thumped. It doesn't matter if you lose. If it's only stay close.
We all thoroughly enjoy the work of Alan Shearer, pundit-wise, don't we? Now, he said he actually was a striker.
He said that
Sergio Aguero is the best striker to grace the Premier
League. Is it an interesting one? Is Sergio Aguero the best Premier League
striker?
You
know how I feel about him.
You think he's the best player in the league, full stop.
I think he's the best striker to who have played in that
league.
Yeah,
you said, well, his goal record is the best player in the Premier League right now, last season.
One player, he's the player I go to.
Best striker the Premier League's ever seen? Possibly, yeah. I would put he is world class category.
He's still going. And look, he's only 29 Henry,
though, he's quite a good Premier League striker, isn't he?
Shearer himself.
I think, what do you reckon? Shearer, Henry? I think
he's going to have another two seasons here, and I think his goal record will far surpass anything.
I'm going to say it. I think he's. Team Aguero.
I'm not saying he's not. I would still say the best Premier League striker. I'm staying on the Shearer bet.
Okay.
Although it's very woolly, isn't it? Because on what grounds is he your favourite? It's not a piss.
Do you know what? On what grounds he's not my favourite? Brighton. That's a link.
Yeah. Go on.
Mitch, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If I was to say a name, what's the first thing that you say?
Oh, I like games.
Right. I'm going to say this. Right.
Yeah.
Glenn Murray.
Evergreen.
First. That's what you're going to say.
And that is
evergreen.
Evergreen. Why? And I'd say he's rolling back the years.
Why is a striker never evergreen and rolling? A defender. Why is he never evergreen
that's like
and rolling
like
back
Maldini.
The years?
Maldini. No
one ever said when Maldini was good, he had a good performance, then everyone's rolling back the years.
He might be, a stalwart, but he's not evergreen, is he?
No, it's weird. Defenders. I was thinking about it because Maldini at 36. Or Buffon now at 40.
Yeah.
No one ever says rolling back the years because Buffon has been consistently good. Maldini was consistently good. So at 36 years old, Maldini was still world class. Yeah, but at 36, he was world class. It wasn't expected that, he's gone downhill. Yeah. With a striker, he scores a goal at 34. They go, look at him rolling back the years.
Yeah, rolling back the years.
Yeah, with a fantastic finish.
It was a great finish.
No one has said how good Brighton have been. No one.
They're really good. Do you know what? Someone else, just briefly.
You're the first one.
Right, briefly on age. Glenn Murray is 34 and everyone's banging on about how good he is because he keeps scoring goals, yeah? Mm. He's only a year older than Ronaldo. That's all I'm saying. No one mentions anything about Ronaldo rolling back the years.
It's the hair, isn't it, though?
He's like, he only scored 30. Yeah, he only scored 28 goals last
Sorry
season.
Sorry to the follically challenge, but I think
Glenn Murray scores one goal and everyone's like, look at him, he's still going. Ronaldo's 33!
He needs a transplant and get down to the tanning salon and he'll be a bit of gel in that thing and he'll be fine.
Come back to home as a Glenn
but,
Murray statue.
But Brighton were really good.
Brighton were
very good.
And I
thought, United making some poor defensive decisions. I mean, it's been said, but I think it just underlines the sort of problem with United as well.
We were watching it, and when Eric Bailly
made that lunge,
it's just like, won the best. Imagine that team talk at halftime, like directed at you. You're Eric, right? You're jogging in, yeah? It should have been just 2-1 at the half. And okay, we can build on that. Back in it, we'll come out swinging, that's excellent. And as soon as Jose sees that, he must have flipped his
lid. If you do that in the 17th minute, there's a chance for the manager to move on to something else.
Yeah.
Do it in the 46th minute.
44th minute penalty.
No. Johnny Evans always said the worst time he'd ever had as a footballer was when Man City beat Man United 6-1 at Old Trafford. And he was like, and he got sent off. And he was like, I wasn't scared afterwards of the result because we've had bad results before.
Yeah.
But I got sent off and that helped them score more goals. He was like, I was terrified of Ferguson coming in. And Ferguson was fuming about him. Just like, we can do with you on the pitch. If it's 3, he was like, just let him have the goal. If it's 3-1, but we've got 11 players, we can do something with it. If it's 3-1 and we've got 10 players, we've lost the game.
And Ferguson was always of the don't get thumped mentality as well. You know, you were saying earlier about if you're going to lose, but just don't get thumped.
And don't get thumped because it's a confidence killer, especially at the start of the season. And that's where it's only 2 games doesn't apply because Huddersfield now, someone which I said would get relegated
this season, and
they decide to come out, got absolutely thumped by, and they can't say, it's the Premier League champions. It is the Premier League champions, but you are 6-1.
Yeah.
It's you get the confidence of that now going into next season, and they already don't score goals. So they got outscored by Harry Kane.
Here's a question for you, United fan Luke. Brighton turning over United. There's been a lot of talk, obviously, before the season about Mourinho being unhappy, not getting the players that he wanted.
Yeah,
is that must surely affect the confidence even before they've kicked the ball? So we're talking about confidence being affected by results, but surely all the background noise must have impacted on that performance on the pitch, irrespective of not having the personnel there.
No, definitely.
All the rest of the scenes.
But we talked before about like Jose being let down by the transfers.
He has been let down by the board. That's 100% true. And I also think there's a media spin on trying to spin it back to Mourinho. Because in the media's eyes, they want Mourinho and because he sells papers, but they want Manchester United more. I genuinely think that there's
It'll
the media
just be
have
else.
Spun
just wait
it
a so couple
that
of weeks,
it's still negative. It's still
else.
Negative United, but the media have spun it. So it's because of Jose, not because Jose said, "I want five players."
Yeah,
and he got two.
Yeah,
because Lee Grant wasn't one of them. Lee Grant was just they needed a third goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
So they brought him in, and he's English, so he fits.
Yeah, exactly.
The bill. He got two out of five players. And he's got to go back and be like, well, I told you this squad needed improving. Yeah. I finished second in the league last year. And he's won the Europa were there. He's got a right to come out in his third season. So I want these five players to really go
if
for the
to
title.
Kick on,
because that's the progression.
And you've got the neighbours who are spending big and improving their squad. And
everyone
they
improved
were
their squad. Yeah. Everyone improved the squad overall. And Liverpool, who were our closest, you know, behind us in that hunt for second,
Liverpool,
as it were... They've not only improved their squad, they've improved their first team. With Naby Keita and, you know, Fabinho still hasn't played yet.
Everyone's still like, who's this
But that's
this
the danger if you're United manager, especially as you're looking at Liverpool.
See,
and like, they've improved their first team and their squad.
When you have a little look at Liverpool and see Jurgen Klopp's passive-aggressive smile beaming back at you, you must be a bit disappointed. Man.
Well, yeah, a little bit. I quite like Jurgen Klopp, though. So
who doesn't like Jurgen Klopp?
Even as a United fan, I quite like Liverpool.
You've
got a lot of respect for him. Talking about Jurgen Klopp, a question that's been bothering me all week is, who are the three happiest managers?
I thought Jurgen Klopp was, because I can't
you say
think
he's passive. Yeah,
I think
he's more passive aggressive than happy.
I think it's that Marc O'Silva myself, because he's starting a little excitable revolution at Everton.
Yeah, but he does it in he's got a very
he's
calm
cool, though.
Demeanor though. I mean, he must be happy inside. I was thinking about this, and I did think Eddie Howe must be pretty happy.
So,
and he does
Eddie
smile
Howe's,
a little
yeah,
bit.
He does
gone,
smile.
Eddie Howe, I've gone Mark O'Silver. And then I've gone Klopp just for the comedy value. Because it's like, through gritted teeth, I could still kill you. You've done a job for me. You scored a goal, well done.
I
will find you, and I will kill
you.
Klopp
could be angry
League,
and happy. He's angry, he's happy, he's furious.
I think, if we're talking Premier League, I think one to go up on the happy list would be Hodgson.
Yeah,
I can't imagine Hodgson's so long in the tooth.
See, that made me smile. Just mention his name,
because he's so long in the tooth now that he's not even going to be bothered by the defeat. He's going to come home and he's just like, "How'd you do, man? Oh, we lost.
But the boys really tried."
Just like seeing putting like a little briefcase down. We lost.
I
what's for dinner,
love Roy? He was a standout feature of last season, responsible for
Roy,
what's
he's
happening.
Good, you know what?
What's
he's
happening
good,
at Crystal Palace?
He's good. A good club manager.
He's solid. He's way better than an Allardyce. He's way better.
If we're talking outside the Premier League for happiest managers, you know who I think would make the cut?
Go on,
Beasley. They're doing well, aren't they?
He must be delighted. So, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, they've got off to a great start. Really good game last night, Tuesday night, against Swansea. Really impressive. I said...
Can I stop you there?
Yeah, go on.
Are we going straight through to Mitch, our man on the
streets? We're going to Mitch Corner. We're going to our championship correspondent.
I just got to say, though, this section of the show is sponsored by Itchy Band Salts, Bath Salts. And salts you can
I
put on the table. So I just wanted to say that beforehand. We'll talk more
that's
about
the beauty of
itchy band, bath salts, and
it's
table
in the
salts.
Bath and the table at the same time.
And
if
you know
want,
what?
If
it's
you
a
want
bath
a bath under a table.
Is a great place to listen to a podcast as well.
Yeah, it is.
It is. What's everything.
I know.
It's called is it called Itchy Band?
Itchy
Band.
Yeah.
Itchy
Band
Bath Salts.
There.
So I just wanted to say, this section of the show where Mitch talks
this
about
section
the championship
the Itchy Band
is
bath
sponsored
salts.
By Itchy Band
Bath Salts.
And
Itchy
Band Table Salts.
So if we're
so
going
yeah,
to...
Hand over.
Let's
yeah,
go to
sure.
Mitch.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Leeds. Really good game last night. I mentioned Swansea still having a strong team and Ollie McBurnie going to be a handful. So, you know, don't want to say I told you so, but two cracking goals and I expect him to have a good season.
Say it.
I just said it. Yeah. I'm sure that'll get played back at the end of the season when he finishes the league season on two. I don't want to... we talked a little bit before about teams who are going to perhaps push for promotion, but I want to focus on couple of teams struggling at the bottom of the championship. Two teams. First of all, poor Steve McLaren. We talked about poor Steve.
We talked about not getting thumping.
We said, don't get thumped. Conceding 10 goals in two games. I mean, and do you know
Steve,
what?
Steve, don't get thumped. But don't lose four in a row and concede 10 in two.
Do you blame the hunter or the arrow?
I blame the string.
Whatever you want to blame, he's in a bit of predicament, and his questions are already coming about his position. But the other one I'm really concerned about is Sheffield Wednesday. I know quite a few Sheffield Wednesday fans, and I think they all saw the warning signs come in. Obviously, they got the transfer embargo, but I think the disconnect between the fans and the team and the owners and the club at the moment is becoming more and more pronounced. That's never a good thing. So they're off to a poor start as well. Reading struggling, but the real surprise actually is Bolton at the moment. So unbeaten start.
Yeah, doing really well.
Doing really well. You know, I think they've addressed some of the issues towards the end of the last season that they'd had in the championship before. Scored a few more goals. And they've strengthened at the back as well. I mean, they signed Jack Hobbs from Forest.
But we know that
it's going to be tight, you know.
And it's a brutal marathon.
But there we are.
Latest scores as we record this.
Go on.
Villa 1, Brentford 1.
Yeah.
Blackburn 0, Reading 2. Norwich 0, Preston North End 0. Sheffield Wednesday beating Millwall 1-0. Bolton Birmingham's 0-0. And we're going to beat Stoke 2-0.
Here we are.
Half time. Out of that list, how do you think Norwich are doing?
Generally,
Stoke is just a city of planes.
How are they doing generally?
Yeah.
On the whole,
I don't think.
How are they in themselves?
I don't think so. I mean, they shipped four a couple of weeks ago at home to West Brom. Mm. I don't know. I mean, I think Norwich have been one of those sides that over the last couple of years have been knocking on the door of promotion.
Yeah.
I just think that there's so many teams strengthening with so much quality at the moment. Over the summer, I ran through the list of I thought that were going to be up there. I just don't think Norwich are going to be one of them, I'm afraid. I think it's going to be mid-table season finish for them.
The thing that Norwich have done for marginal gains, have you seen the story about them painting their away dressing room at Carrow Road?
I haven't, no.
What colour? They painted it light pink. And they haven't made the official statement of why they've done it.
Yeah, go on.
Done it this season, but they've had brand experts involved, and they've said because it's a colour that's thought to lower testosterone levels and make people a calming effect.
Okay.
So, when a team comes to play them at Carrow Road, they'll be in a dusky pink dressing room.
I see.
And it's meant to be a calming effect on the opposition players. So Norwich.
What if they're playing at, say,
it's like marginal gains. It's like Team Sky, like Brailsford suddenly.
What if they're playing a side? Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, what if they're playing a side towards the end of the season where it's like a six-pointer and they're trying to play on the nerves of the opposition, but instead they get calmed and then they.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing. I painted it all black. What colour would you paint it? Or like white, like your
dressing room, to be honest.
Yeah,
just try and get away with that one.
In the van.
Yeah, that'd be a marginal game.
Yeah, it was quite interesting.
about marginal games.
Right, another one that's actually happening as we speak is Fleetwood. Fleetwood are playing Scunthorpe at the minute away.
How are they doing?
They're winning 4-0.
Who scored?
You're joking me.
Fleetwood are 4-0 up at half time.
Who scored?
Are you serious?
I know who scored. Who scored?
Wes Burns scored twice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And some other guy scored the other two.
Interesting.
Some other good footballing guy.
They start
with a defeat. I think it was to Wimbledon at home. And they've since then they've had they beat Oxford. They won against Crewe in the Cup, and I think they drew with might have been Rochdale last, and it was a last minute equaliser at home. So from that first defeat, and you thought, not the best starts for Mr. Barton. Actually, they're 8 or 9 new players that they brought in with experience. They've gone, I think their policy they came out and said was that we're not going to buy youth because it's the sort of in thing to do. If it improves quality, we don't care. I think they bought Dean Marnie he's sort of mid-30s, knocking around 34, I think he is. I mean, so they apparently they held off a bit of competition from Villa and us. I didn't hear that one from Forrest, but rumour for that one. I don't know. For Dean Marnie. But anyway, their policy was that they'll just bring in players that they think, A, is going to be quality, it can play at a high level. Yeah. B, we don't give a, you know,
is it like
the toss what age they are.
Is it like Amiobi playing at Notts County?
Yes.
That's what's happened.
Yeah. But, you know, that result, Scunthorpe's not an easy game in that league, in League One.
So that's Lampard doing reasonably well at Derby?
I think that was a big... They needed that win.
It was a big win. Was that his first home win?
No, they won... was it their first home win? Pass. No, I think they won the first home fixture of the season. But they just lost... They lost to Leeds, didn't they? They lost to Millwall away.
Do you think Harry's feeding Frank just some choice words?
Oh, you think he's
Harry?
He's got him in the hot seat. Yeah?
Harry at the minute, he's like on his way down or up to Derby from South Coast, where he inevitably lives, with Bondi driving him, because that's.
Bondi, as he's known.
Bondi's driving him up there. He's got the dogs in the back.
Yeah, he has.
Sanders laid out.
He would have seen a win. I think that
the only thing he hasn't got read up in this car is his tax return form.
Allegedly.
But yeah, I mean, if it, you know, whatever you think about how Lampard, whether he should have got that job as his first job of management, I think it was a big win for them. Against Ipswich, they needed it, who knows? I mean, that's a club that are probably going to demand at very least playoff football, so the pressure's going to be quite high for a club like Derby, so you will feel it, so you do want to get off to a good start, so I think that was a big win.
Yeah, he's done all right. They're up to 10.
He's done all right. They're it's early doors, isn't it? You know, Championship. It's one of those leagues. Championship's one of those leagues that you could be 23rd at Christmas and you'll still be talking, you know, put a run together and we'll make the playoffs. So,
yeah. Guys, what I've done, in your back pocket, there should be a ticket. It's train ticket. Yeah?
Yeah.
We're about to board.
Hang on.
Where are we boarding? Let me
check. Have a look at the
hang
ticket.
Hang on a minute. Hang on.
I'm going to tell you exactly where we are.
Okay. Right.
We're just going to pop on.
Where we pop it on.
The Trans Europe Express.
Trans Europe Express.
Here we go. Trans Europe Express.
Here we go. Mine says Cardiff Central.
That's the wrong ticket.
That's
the wrong ticket.
That's all right then.
Can go across the border?
Can we go to Spain first?
I know it's logical.
Let me just check the ticket.
Yeah, we're going to Spain this weekend.
Yeah,
so
we can.
I know it's logical to go to France next from where we are, but we're not. We're going to go to Spain.
We're going to go to Spain. We need to go down before we
to Spain.
Andre Silva. Good game, didn't
he? What of him?
He on loan to Sevilla from AC Milan, and he became the first player to score a hat-trick on his La Liga debut this century.
That's unbelievable stat.
That's good news corner.
That's
a few good players have played in La Liga as well, so, you know, he's done pretty well there, hasn't he?
He's done all right, hasn't he?
That's nice, isn't it? That's nice.
He's done all right, good. I like that.
Did you actually watch the PSG game?
We're going to France.
Oh, we're not in France. We're
not
in France.
Guys,
we're still in Spain yet.
Get back on the train. Right. We're still in Spain.
I'll meet you there.
Right, today there was a meeting, the captains of the La Liga clubs.
Yeah.
They met to discuss the proposal that a La Liga game
they were happy.
Played in America.
Are they not happy?
They're fuming.
They're livid.
Busquets and Ramos. Imagine them in a room angry.
Is that not going ahead now?
No, it is happening.
It's happening.
It's happening. They said that they had their meeting today.
So,
right. Basically, it's because Relevant, a US media company, have agreed a deal with the La Liga for the next 15 years, and that includes a game of La Liga in America. They don't say what match it will be,
what teams,
or indeed what season.
So it's basically
they
like
haven't said if it will be an annual thing,
surprise,
or just a one-off game. So
mystery.
Literally, what's going to happen is in about 6 years' time, Levante are going to play Getafe in Miami.
Well, they will, but well, I mean, you say that, but will it be?
Real Madrid they're going to
yeah, but they're going to be pushing for the big teams, and it's going to be a bit of a power struggle.
The thing is the captain's meeting. I like it, and it's pretty. I like the fact that they're saying.
I like
saying,
the meeting.
I'd like to go in.
It's a great meeting. They're saying that, you know, they feel marginalised in the decision making and so on, and I agree with all of that. But the fact of the matter is, we all know that if in 4 years' time they got a call and a US media company, Real Madrid, they want you to play in Miami. No,
Yeah.
Done. Would you finish like to Barcelona? No. We're not going.
Flying the wall in that meeting.
I'd love to be a fly amazing. On the moon.
Why be a fly on the wall? Just walk in. Just ask if you can go in.
That's true. You yes. need to be a fly
be
at all.
A fly.
Yeah. And why do you need the rest on the wall? Why not fly?
That's the problem with it.
Just
right walk, then.
Just go, excuse me.
Because you're so eager.
You're keen to get to
you're keen
PSG
to get to France.
France.
Let's,
oh, I've just met you in Spain.
Well,
now.
It's your own fault. You went to
Nice
or somewhere
been
first,
out
didn't
of
you?
Spain.
Oh. We were in Malaga. Okay. And you turned up in Marseille.
You were very happy. Very happy in Malaga.
Right. Talking about a nice place to go in France is Nice.
I hear it's nice.
It is nice.
Nice.
Patrick Vieira took over as manager.
He did not. Shut up. Shut the front
door. He's had a bit of a off start. There's been two games in Liga so far this season, and he's won. He's drawn one and lost the other.
Hmm. Really? Should we? Yeah, I mean.
1 point from two. So he's. The problem that Nice have got is last season they had Alessandra Player up front. He's now gone to Leverkusen. And Jean-Michel Seri. In midfield, who has gone to Fulham. They are, that's the
quality.
The engine and the end product left and a new manager come in. So look, I saw quite a bit of criticism actually of Vieira and I was like, forget
can
that.
He be criticized?
Look at who he's lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Can you criticise him when you've...
That's how they're judging.
Yeah, it's ridiculous though.
He's not been thumped though, is he?
Do you think Thierry Henry will be announced as Bordeaux? Do you think he'll start in the French league? Mm.
I think if he starts there, that's the best place for him to go. He's a national treasure, isn't he?
Yeah.
And you can manage in Liga at a reasonable level to get to mid-table reasonably well, develop your craft. You can stay at mid-table if he picks the right squad. Bordeaux, again, they're in the position now where they've lost a massive player this summer. But they're in no danger of dropping out of the league. You know, Omri can get there.
And that's sort of following the footsteps of one Arsene Wenger, who started off in those types of league. And
well, you do your craft. Look at Sarri.
His time at Monaco.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. George Weah. Now president.
Yeah.
You know that news? That's good. I think that's good news corner.
Wenger's, he's been on there, didn't he?
He should do.
All right. That's good news corner.
Done then.
Well, yeah.
Come on then. Okay.
PSG.
We all really enjoyed
Buffon.
The Buffon save.
We have to mention it.
We have to. If you haven't seen it, see it. It's a
Buffon
great save.
Was roll
back the years, didn't he?
Evergreen.
Evergreen. Mbappe. Someone who's going to be described as evergreen in about 14 years' time.
Yeah.
He's back.
14 years, you know, you'd be 25.
If you can come on as a sub and make that sort of impact straight away.
What a player.
People are comparing him to the Ronaldinho.
Ballon d'Or winner within 3 years.
To Henry. If he keeps maintaining this level, this high, extreme level, playing with sacks of confidence.
It shows you how good of a season they had, that when PSG brought him in on that initial loan and they said, right, it's a deal worth 60 million now, and then they have to pay 135 million. That is a ridiculous sum. That's £200 million. After they spent £200 million bringing in Neymar, they then bring in Mbappe, who everyone forgot was world class at Monaco, and no one talked about it because it was Neymar was the big deal.
Because he's of that age, isn't he? Mbappe is like still a risk.
Well, weirdly though, you think they paid a one-off fee, loan fee, which can get written off against financial fair play because it's a loan fee.
Yeah.
So that's done, and then on top of that 60 million, they paid 135 million this summer. Weirdly, that now looks like an absolute bargain.
Yeah, no.
Because if he was still at Monaco, they'd be like, well, Neymar went for 200, so we want 250. He's just won the World Cup and he's like 20 years old. Some Real Madrid or someone would have come in for him this summer if he stayed at Monaco, and it would be double the fee. You're talking 250, 300 million for Mbappe. Yeah. He's that good. And PSG got him for basically 135.
Can you see him staying at PSG for
a couple of years? I think because he's going to become the star.
Why would you not? Like he's there, he's comfortable.
He's comfortable.
If he's progressing,
he's
won the World Cup.
He's probably at a club that will win the Champions League within 5 years.
Mm.
You know, so it's and they're building already. They're getting more and more. They brought Buffon in to try and win it this year. That's what they've done.
Yeah.
Talking about bringing someone in to win the Champions League.
Yeah.
Ronaldo.
I was just about to say Ronaldo. Do you know why?
Serie A.
When he scored, he. Big up when he first scored his first goal for Juve. Who's it for? He went, Gigi Buffon.
Yeah.
Oh, in the friendly?
Yeah. First goal.
Good man.
It was...
Respect.
The game against Chievo was mad.
They had to dig in.
The Chievo game when they were down and everyone...
They were down to 2-1.
There was so much nonsense off when they were losing.
Yeah.
and then there was so much hate straight away for Ronaldo.
Ronaldo. But Ronaldo had a good solid, I'd say, 7.5. He had a really good game. And Chievo were superb. But Juventus brought it back to 2-2 from a goal which he claimed, and I will forever say, came off Leonardo Bonucci's head, although what didn't. But on his first game back for Juventus after a season at AC Milan, to score a header, I don't care. I've seen loads of replays. It didn't go anywhere near his head. He scored it. It went in. It was his will. It was brilliant. Then they scored again. And about 2.5 minutes later, the game was stopped. And they went to VAR and disallowed it.
Yeah.
Keeper went down. And it came off Ronaldo's arm, apparently. So it was 2-2. They scored again.
Yeah, it was dramatic, wasn't it?
It was a mental game.
It'd be great to see VAR in this league in comparison to like the Premier League, just to see what actually happened. Like Premier League should have had VAR by now. They should have.
It'll happen. They should be straight from the World Cup in a couple of games.
On a well-known football highlights show on BBC late at night, they were saying it feels weird to not have VAR. I think they were right. After the World Cup, it feels strange when something happens in the Premier League and then you're like, oh, yeah, there's no VAR.
VAR is like David De Gea when he first signed for United. No one understands how good it is yet. Just give it time.
Yeah.
You know? Give it time, because he was brilliant.
But also, to not move straight too far from our home in Italy as it is at the moment, but VAR is when people have a little dig at VAR, it's not VAR, the system's not wrong, it's how people are judging the system.
That's what we've discovered through the World Cup, didn't we?
You know,
that's exactly how it is.
Yeah.
So it's just how it's.
It can't be wrong.
Yeah.
No, it's not wrong.
It's a recording of what happened.
VAR messing up the game completely.
VAR's wrong. Yeah. It can't be wrong. No. It's a recording of the game.
You're missing the point.
Yeah. You know, but anyway, there we are.
Can we briefly, because I'm very aware of the time. Can we go from Italy to Good News Corner? Can we end on two?
Let's end on some really positive news.
I want the most positive news to finish on.
Right, David Silva's son. David Silva's son, Matteo, who was born 25 weeks premature. We all know David Silva had to take time off last season, and Man City just said, you go and be where you need to be. And he kept flying in for a game, and then he disappeared for three. And it was because his son was basically, he was told he was fighting. He could die any day. He didn't. And against Huddersfield, he was their mascot.
Fantastic.
And he was brought out onto the pitch by David Silva. That was one of the best moments.
Man City know how to do relations, don't they?
Yeah, brilliant. Everything.
Great touch.
They've developed so much from a game
where... win-win-win.
When they first took over the club, Mark Hughes's Man City were losing to Ostersunds in the UEFA Cup qualifying game. Mm. And look where they've come now. The other bit of good news corner, Ajax player... Appy Nuri, who went down in a pre-season friendly last year, July 2017, against Werder Bremen, was unconscious. He was put into a medically induced coma because he's got permanent brain damage. Has started responding to his family when they ask him a question. He can distinguish two separate movements: one's opening his mouth, one's lifting an eyebrow between yes and no. So you can answer yes or no questions. So his brain is starting to fire again.
Fingers crossed.
Which is incredible.
Fingers crossed.
Was I the only one then to try moving both eyebrows?
No.
Yes. Which one's yes and no?
No, one's the eyebrow and then one's...
Good news. That's good news.
Good News Corner is a good place to...
Good place to finish.
Yeah. It's splendid.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening very much.
On all the socials, see all of the nonsense on there.
At the FIFA Ramble.
Do all of that.
TFR, get
do
it.
All of that. See more of this. Do that. Just do that. And then all the other stuff. The
Life
FIFA
on
Ramble.
YouTube.
Yeah, TFR. Or not. It's up to you, but we're going now.
Sponsor.